AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
And with me.
Yeah! Yeah! Yes! Now and forever!
You ask for too much. What you want?
What? Huh? Yes! Yeah! Yeah!
Petros and Money, AM 570, LA Sports, already gave away our spot for today on our 11th spring training trip out to Arizona.
I hope you get to sit next to Victor Brick.
Hope you do.
Are you hard of hearing?
Yes! You're going to see the game. You're going to have some barbecue. Southwest Airlines, low fares, no hidden fees. That's transparency. Be sure to listen to Rogan and Rodney tomorrow for your chance to win the next seat on board the AM 570 LA Sports Spring Baseball Express. David Vasse going to be along at 8 o'clock because Bruin Insider arrives at 7 p.m. tonight.
And we celebrated an hour later yesterday with Mick Cronin.
We did our due diligence.
Just like Eric Bieniemy's doing with the University of Colorado.
Exactly. We did our part.
We did what we had to do.
We did our part.
Just like we do with the L.A. County and the voting, Matt, and the early registration. We did what we're supposed to. Our civic duty as a show.
It's all of our civic duty.
No doubt about that.
We're just trying to be an example for you, the people.
You want to follow us
on
Twitter, at Matt Money Smith, at Tim Cates, at Colin Yee. What is your Twitter handle, Colin? At Colin Yee 10. At Petros and Money, at the old P, at Ronnie Fosso. You can podcast this show on the iHeartRadio app. We prefer that, or any other platforms for podcasts. And of course, am570lasports.com/PMS. You can stream the show live right there, and it sounds better, to be honest. Okay, it's time for the final hour fun fact.
It's fun in effect. It's the hour three.
Fun facts! Fun facts!
Dateline, 1849. On the streets of New York.
Not long ago, Matt.
Samuel Thompson.
That was right when that song, Hey Geronimo, was a big
hit. Exactly right.
1849, it was double platinum.
Hey!
Geronimo! Hey! That was when Geronimo was alive. And he was
right.
Like, dude, where's my
tribute.
Freaking... He did, it was on TMZ. He did a whole thing where he was trying to get the rights
right.
And suit him.
1849, streets of New York. Samuel Thompson would walk up to strangers and begin a conversation.
Sorry.
Eventually, in the conversation, he would ultimately ask, have you the confidence to trust me with your watch until tomorrow?
Oh, okay. And people were pretty gullible back then, I know for a fact.
They would give him their watch, and he would never return.
That's good. That's pretty good.
When he was finally caught.
What a racket.
And the news made the papers. Dr. James Houston, who wrote the story from the New York Herald, described Samuel Thompson as, quote, the confidence man. And when they shortened it, Samuel Thompson is your original
con man. Well, schemes have become a lot more complex since 1849, huh?
Say that now. Say. Would you be willing to trust me with your watch until tomorrow?
I'll gladly meet you here at this very spot tomorrow.
What do I get out of it again? Nothing.
How am I going to know what time? I won't have a watch. Just wait here.
So let me get this straight. You just gave a guy your watch. Yeah, he's very, very kind.
Close your eyes.
Very kind man.
Count to 100.
He's very convincing. He had a lot of confidence.
Confidence Man. Now, there was a movie that came out a little while back about a big group of con men, and it was called Confidence Men. Now, our listeners and I know
Samuel Thompson. There it is, man. Put it all together.
Quick hits.
The PMS Quick Hits. I'll make it quick, y'all. Oh, yeah!
I mean, that's even simpler than, hey, would you buy me beer? I'm under 21, which is a big penalty.
Turns out, don't get caught.
Dodgers went through a full team workout today in Arizona. 8 o'clock, Vasse will have the news. Manager Dave Roberts and team president Stan Kasten addressed the team beforehand and told them, hey, guys, all right.
Let's go.
Time to focus on the 2020 season and probably a good message. But the more the Astros talk, they're Andrew Raffner. The more they're hated. You be the judge. Is that in there?
That is not.
Aaron Judge
in here.
Unloaded on the Stros today. He who was stolen the MVP from said they should vacate that title. He said, right. Put all their rings into a giant gun and shoot it into the sun.
And they said melt it down and create one giant middle
like
finger.
Yeah, like Superman. And remember Superman right. when he threw it into the sun? Players should be punished, and the players will never be looked at the same again. He also doubts that they were clean in 2019. And that's, I mean, that was the motto. Let's be clean in 2019. And that's crazy that Atlanta Braves outfielder, Greek-American Nick Markakis, is another player who has vocalized his displeasure with the Stros. Markakis said the player should get a beating. And even Dusty Baker got mad about this because Markakis got so much wind in his Greek jaws. Dusty Baker said he must have eaten his Wheaties. Here's Markakis.
To see something like that, it's damaging to baseball. You know, it's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. You know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. You know, I know we're all competitive and we're out there competing, but there's right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And I 100% disagree with the way they did it.
See, I'm just advocating for hitting them with a pitch. I mean, Markakis wants to beat them. LeBron James weighed in via his at King James Twitter feed. 45 million followers pointed out that he doesn't play baseball.
Listen.
But if he was cheated out of a title, he would be effing irate. And he
uncontrollable.
Makes a plea to baseball commissioner Rob Manfred to listen to his players who are disgusted, mad, hurt, broken. He did not use literally correctly because there isn't a ball in his field. But I get what he's saying. And he's saying, please fix this for the sake of sports. And then he put this hashtag out. Don't know if this is going to catch on. Just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie, regardless of my own sports play.
Oh, that's going to be huge. That is going to be trending in a matter of
hours. Heck of a, and, make, and to his credit.
It's a big crawl, but it's LeBron James.
He capitalized every word.
Oh, good.
Just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie, regardless my own sport I play.
Yeah, and he's right. There's no doubt about it, and he's echoing a lot of what people are saying. You just heard Markakis talking about a beating.
You blew it.
Yeah.
Manfred, you blew it.
He did, but at the same time, we did discuss it earlier, and I'm not really making any excuses for Rob Manfred, but the players work for Rob Manfred. Manfred works for the owners. And that's why most of the time when there's trouble, these commissioners seem pretty feckless. It's been three times. Well, it's not happening. It's been twice in our careers, and both in LA, where an owner was roundly rejected by people. Frank McCourt, because he was broke, so he wasn't one of them. He wasn't in the club, and they never liked him to begin with, and we know that. We went through that together on the radio. And Donald Sterling, because
he's a terrible person.
It was so blatant, and he needed to be thrown out of the NBA for that. Crane is not that guy. Crane is protected by the other owners, and that's why Manfred.
But remember, the other owners in the NFL piled on Roger Goodell, to do something to Robert Kraft. They're like, hey, we know that's your boy, you got to do something.
But they're still all boys, and there's still a protection. They're not firing Robert Kraft from the league.
No, but they wanted that fine. They wanted those draft picks because Goodell wasn't going to give it to him.
To me, the reason that this is happening, the way that Manfred looks so bad, is the reason a commissioner always looks bad. He's got to protect the owners, and the owners, just like a lot of people, are detached from the way people really feel, and most of the time, they really don't care. You know, they're about a business and making money. So Crane looks like a fool. Anybody protecting Crane looks like a fool. But I'm not sure how much they care.
It's only players that are saying it. There's no Artie Moreno. There's no owners going at. There's no Steinbrenner.
Because they have each other's
exactly.
back. And
none of those guys are going on record about this.
We've seen it a couple times in our lifetime, and it was very, very unique. It was Frank McCourt. And it was Donald Sterling. And those were both extenuating circumstances. You could say this is too, but Manfred,
I've never seen players advocating for their contemporaries to be punished.
Well, that's why, because it's player on player.
Right.
You know, the thing was Hinch and the GM and Luhnow, they're sacrificial lambs here. And the players feel like there's a brotherhood, a brother-on-brother type of thing that's been broken here. Way worse than juice or having a cork bat or PEDs. They feel betrayed, obviously. I mean, you saw it even on that tragic day. We were out there 3 miles from the crash site at Justin Turner's golf tournament, just a scheduling thing, you know, right after the Kobe tragedy. And everybody was very somber and morose about what had happened. But when the Astros thing came up, you saw a fire in the, you know, we were sitting right across
fire in
from
the eyes.
Yeah, fire in their eyes. And, you know, from Cody Bellinger. And this is a day where everybody had a couple drinks and they were relaxed and having a good time.
Let that guard down a little bit now.
But you saw him perk up and get competitive and get angry. And you could tell. And it only gets worse when they talk more. And, of course, people are going to get the reaction from the other teams. And then the Astros are going to react. And now Markakis, you know, we're just going to keep going, which is part of the reason I think Stan Kasten had to say something today to the Dodgers. And we got some odds, Matt. Speaking of beaten.
Tom Hofart don't like this. He don't like it at all. Over under, hit by pitch, 80.5 on the season.
10,000 villages, man.
On the season, 80.5 is the over under you can bet on. Even money either way. I think it's -115. Bet 115 to win 100 if you want to go over or if you want to go under. On the hit by pitch, times players want to charge the mound. 1.5, well, not want, times an actual player charges the mound, 1.5.
Is that just Verlander?
That's a good question. There are no specific pitchers, or players, I should say, not Bregman, not Correa, not Altuve that would be charging the mound.
They are in the final category, though, that we have listed.
Bregman, he's your favorite. Oh, no, yeah, he's your favorite, 1-1. Bregman going to wear it the most as the players to get hit by a pitch the most this season. Bregman 1-1, Springer 2-1, Altuve 3-1, Correa 7-2. Now, if Marwin Gonzalez was still in the Astros, oh, he'd be like 1-5. He'd be an overwhelming favorite, begging on that trash can as much as he did.
They're all a-holes. Like, they've been a-holes for years. Like, it's a
now
flaming
they're gonna
a-hole.
Wear it. That's what their logo should be. Get rid of that H with the star around it. Just a flaming
a-hole.
That's it.
You know, it's crazy because it was such a good feeling when they won for
a
lot of people.
Is that a butthole on your hat? It is.
In 2017, yes, like, we were sad. You know, people in L.A. were sad because it's been
super
a long time.
Super sad.
But people were like, you know, they had the flood and, you know.
So
and
sad.
Now it's just, man, they are really.
Worst guys ever.
Lakers and Clippers are the All-Star break. The worst, Matt.
Ever. On Earth in history.
Oh, the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, answered a question about teaming up with his brothers. Stelios, Theologos, you know, all of them. In the NBA, he might have been a little bit too honest. And Thanisis, Kostas, Dimitrios. It has people wondering about the Lakers when he's a free agent.
You got one brother with you in Milwaukee, another in LA. Have you ever thought about what it'd be like having everyone together?
I think that would be amazing. Obviously, we spend more time together. And I'm 100% sure my mom would love that. But if we could like team up in a team in Milwaukee, LA, whatever, that'd be awesome.
He didn't say Lakers.
Milwaukee, LA, whatever, that'd be awesome. Milwaukee, LA, whatever, that'd be
look
awesome.
At Tim Cates' face.
Milwaukee, LA, whatever, that'd be awesome.
Sensational.
Milwaukee, Cates. LA, whatever, that'd be awesome.
I feel like it's a bit of a non-story.
He didn't say New York or Milwaukee or
well,
whatever.
No, because his brother's in LA and he's in Milwaukee.
So he's
his
coming
brother
to LA.
Plays for the Lakers.
Milwaukee, LA, whatever, that'd be
he
awesome.
He plays for the Bucks.
He's coming to LA.
He's not coming to LA.
2021.
These dudes are not wired like LeBron James is, where they pop from spot to spot and they go from Cleveland to Miami.
No, the Greek freak
Dirk stayed in Dallas
he'll
his entire
never,
career.
Never turn his back on the Elinidis of Milwaukee, not after they introduced him to fruit smoothies. That changed his life.
That did change everything.
He's very, very easy to please. Drew Brees, also easy to please. Plans to return to New Orleans for the 2020 season. Made the announcement on Instagram saying in part, love you, hashtag Houdat Nation.
Hashtag.
Let's make another run at it. Mufaletta, 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 Mufaletta.
That's a heck of a hashtag.
Don't be in the street.
Don't be in the street with the last one. Mufaletta.
Go ahead and commit murder.
Congratulations, Drew Brees, on coming back. Boy, that was a fun conversation we had about Taysom Hill being the starter for a half second. Really enjoyed that.
Next year, Taysom.
It was next year.
49ers owner Eddie D was, he got pardoned today. Blagojevich got commuted.
Blagojevich got his sentence commuted and pardoned.
No. This
just
guy
commuted.
Just commuted.
Yeah,
this
Eddie
guy
was like $400,000 fine. Shame.
Now, Blagojevich may get pardoned down the road.
But commuted.
Today, he just got to go home.
He's good.
But Eddie
D's. It's a tremendous season of The Apprentice.
Eddie D's really good.
I had to fire you for that Harry Potter crap.
Eddie D's been pardoned and commuted. And Jerry Rice was there. And high-fived him.
You're welcome, Jerry. You're welcome, Ronnie.
Jim Brown was there.
Eddie DB.
Jim Brown.
You paid the fine. It's horrible what the NFL did to you.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Tremendous.
Awful what the NFL did
to you.
Tremendous
that you're out. Matt, the Kings are in Winnipeg right now.
They are. You can listen to that game right now. on the Kings channel on the iHeartRadio app.
Are they still the Jets?
They are. Well, they disappeared for like a decade and a half. Yeah, they came back. They came back like the Browns disappeared and they came back as the Browns.
They rose from the ash.
When the Clips move to Seattle, they'll come back as the Sonics. It's brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa.
Well, I guess that's not where Dan Gulpa's going to meet up with his brother.
And that's in the last hour of our show.
Seattle, L.A., Milwaukee, you know, whatever.
Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, good times.
We'll be right back with Bill Plaschke, State of L.A. Well, we ran a lot of the Rob Manfred presser live from the Cactus League to the media, and now they're reacting to it, Eric Burns and John Smoltz on the MLB Network. We will have our own reaction with one of our best friends. In fact, he is the greatest sports writer in America and the most decorated. It's Bill Plaschke of the LA Times. He's got a new sports editor, but it's the same old Bill Plaschke. Banging out content for the people in the LA Times and, of course, around the horn. Multiple books being written. The tearjerkers. The confounding decisions by management. Tragedies. All of it is covered by our dear friend, an ABBA enthusiast, the king of the two north, Bill Plaschke, on the Petros and Money Show on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. Hi, Bill.
What's going on, guys? Hey, thank you, Ronnie. Thank you for remembering me, buddy.
We always takes care of you.
How can we forget?
Ronnie takes care of me.
Now, did you just watch that press conference, Bill? What's your reaction just to the way this is? Since training camp has opened in baseball, this thing just is not going away and seems to be getting worse and worse.
A piece, and this is what I tweeted out last on Sunday when he had the first interview on international television interview. A piece of metal? He thinks the World Series Championship is a piece of metal, and that old Justin Turner followed up on that and ripped him. Yeah, this is baseball in chaos. This is a guy that has lost control of the game, and it would have been so easy, as I wrote last week, it would have been so easy to avoid all of this if he had just punished the damn Astros like it should be punished. That's all. Make him pay. Vacate the trophy, the championship, take away their rings, take away their money, and then when they apologize, it'll sound more sincere, perhaps, because he actually lost something. Now they're just sorry they got caught. So basically, baseball is telling Manfred, you didn't do your job. We're going to take over. And you know what that means? That means bean balls. That means, you know, things in the stands. People in the stands are going to be banging trash cans and going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be – it's going to be – these guys are going to be blackballed and bean balled and hit and harassed and everything. And – It's all on the commissioner. It's all. I mean, I understand how you got to get the players' immunity to get in, to let him talk, but he didn't need to get the team immunity. He didn't. And again, don't give the trophy to the Dodgers. They don't want it. But I think history should remember that nobody won it.
Right.
Nobody won it.
You take away their ability to make money in the future off that past championship. And by the – I don't know if you saw it, Bill, but that was really the only thing that seemed sincere in that whole press conference was him apologizing essentially to Justin Turner. And saying that he made a horrible error in calling it a hunk of metal, and that he apologized for that. He said that about three or four times. I guess the big question, though, Bill, is what can he do? He can't go back now and take it away and vacate the championship. It's too late for that. He can't go and punish the players because he already agreed with the players' union that as long as they cooperated, that he wasn't going to be able to punish them and grant them immunity. I don't know how baseball gets past this, save owners of each and every individual team saying we're done, move on, and this is an edict from your owner, right? That's the only way.
Well, would it be possible? People forget this baseball union that's so protecting these Astros. It also represents 9% of the players who apparently didn't cheat or were cheated against. What if those players? What if the union came to baseball and said it's okay, you can take away their trophy. Go ahead and do it. We won't say anything. What if the union, I still think it's possible. I still think it's possible.
There's no way the union would ever do that. You know they wouldn't, Bill. They would never do that. Because they're all about player empowerment, no matter what, no matter how bad. You know that.
How dumb are these players to follow the union leadership that's not speaking for them? That's protecting the bad guys. That's unbelievable. But, baseball's going to have to hope. Yeah, they're going to have to basically come down. Every general manager is going to have to go in the clubhouse and say, baseball said stop talking about it. Just end it. No beanballs, no more harassment. Just stop it.
Well, but that's doesn't that fly? I mean, because this has really become like a players versus owners kind of thing. You know, the owners control the commissioner. The players, like you said, 90% of the guys, 95% that didn't cheat, are livid. You hear how angry they are in Dodger camp. They came out and told the players not to say anything weeks ago, and they ignored that. The players have been saying whatever they want. Stan Kasten went in the clubhouse today at Camelback Ranch and said, okay, we're moving on. Can these guys move on? I mean, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on these Astro games against the Angels to start the season and throughout the year.
Well, I think the player baseball inherently is a very selfish sport, and players are going to, you know, they're going to realize that they're distracted by the Astros. They're not putting up their numbers and making their arbitration, you know, cases very well and doing, you know, well for free agency and all that stuff. So I think eventually the players, the selfishness will take over. They'll say, you know what, we got to take care of our own butts. If we're going, we're going to worry about the Astros. But I do think, I mean, I was thinking about this. Who do you think the first pitcher who hits an Astro, I don't know if it's going to be in spring training or in regular season, he's going to be a hero.
It's like the first guy that starts the slow clap in a coming-of-age movie. You know, the first guy that starts. Let's get it going.
Yeah, right.
Set of a woman, you know, right after he gives the speech, you know, just the slow clap. That's going to be the first pitcher. It's going to peg somebody right on their butt cheek, and then it's just going to fall like rain, Bill. The players are going to police themselves. It's going to be chaos in the streets.
I think it is, and I think it'll last a month or so, a couple months maybe, and then the players again will focus on themselves. And I hope for the baseball sake, the Astros get off to a terrible start. Because baseball, if they're playing well, nobody's going to believe it anyway. It's going to get even worse.
Right.
And everybody says, well, they can shrug off these distractions. I think they're too great for them. I think the Astros, and I'll go on record saying this right now, you can have me on in October, the Astros are not going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to implode. I don't care how much talent they have.
Take
they're human
base.
Beings. And they've been scarlet lettered all through this season. It's going to be the longest season of their lives. I mean, nobody's going to trust them. Nobody's going to, you know, cheer for them except in Houston. They're going to be booed and roundly everywhere. They're going to be made fun of. They're going to be stalked. I just think, again, Mike Trout got mad. Baseball made Mike Trout mad.
And he never says anything.
Unless the Eagles lose, he doesn't care.
That's right.
Yes. So baseball did that to Mike Trout. That's why it's completely over. And Manfred, the worst commissioner. I mean, he's got to be. Everybody rips Roger Goodell, but I think Rob Manfred's the worst commissioner working right now. Just the absolute worst. And he's such a lackey for the owners. So protective of Jim Crane. So protective. And you wonder what did Guggenheim say about it? How about the Dodgers?
That's the thing. None of them will.
The owners all like each other.
They
won't. Except for McCourt.
It's a player thing. Speaking of it just being a player thing, Bill, because we've never seen players attack other players.
There's actual players, baseball players, who most of them have fewer Twitter followers than I do, actually on social media. You've never seen baseball on social media, ever. And you're right. And they're completely out of character.
Do you think this is good or bad for the Dodgers? Is this maybe a fuel that they didn't have after winning 8 straight division titles or whatever it's been, 6, and this helps them? Or do you think this is too much of a distraction?
Like a
and
fire under
them?
The ass?
Like just something new, right?
Let's
a new
be
wrinkle.
Honest. Let's be honest, okay? Here's the whisper. Here's the truth. This is great for the Dodgers. Are you kidding me? First off, has any Dodger, the first day in Camelback Ranch, was any Dodger asked, what happened in the ninth and tenth inning against the Washington Nationals last October? Was any Dodger asked, what happened when you tried to get Gerrit Cole? Was any Dodger asked anything about that at all? Has anybody, how about them booing, anybody asked Dave Roberts what it was like to get booed out of Dodger Stadium? No, the narrative has changed. It's flipped. Now they're a team united. I think they need it. Again, horrible for the Dodgers to get screwed out of a World Series. And I wrote that, and they did. They got jobbed. They got cheated. They would have won that World Series without the Astros hadn't cheated. There's no question in my mind. I was there for every pitch. There's no question. But anyway, that was bad. But this is a bonding thing. This is something I think after 7 straight division championships and all the failures they've had, they needed something to ignite them and get them going. Now, maybe Mookie Betts and David Price will do that somewhat, but they needed more of an intangible bond, a fabric in there to connect them again, to reconnect them after all their failures and all the, you know, and before they start finger pointing. This is it. I think this is great for the Dodgers. I mean, I think the Dodgers, they're already World Series favorites with Betts and Price. I think they're definitely World Series favorites now. They're favorites to win the whole thing now, more so than in any other year under Friedman, because I do think this is the one thing, whichever what you guys said, it was exactly right. It's a new wrinkle. It's a new fire. It's a new bond.
And, Bill, just, you know, because you always keep track of what you're writing and what people want to, you know, hear from you and read from you, we've never done this. This is good for baseball, right? Like, you've never looked at baseball like this or covered baseball this much in the middle of February, even here in L.A. with the Dodgers, as important as they are to this community, challenging for World Series championships. It's a regional sport to some degree. This has made it national.
It's a regional sport to every degree. It's getting its butt kicked by the NFL and the NBA. Yet on the day of the NBA All-Star game, people are talking about Rob Manfred and a piece of metal. People are actually paying attention to spring training, which nobody really ever did anymore. It does anymore, except in the local markets. It's not a national thing. No, but for the last five or six days, baseball's become basketball. Major baseball's become the NBA. And people are really loving reading the players ripping each other, players showing themselves. I mean, these are players who would never, but it's following the code that got the Astros in trouble in the first place. And these players are all breaking the clubhouse code. They're all going out on a limb, ripping their other guy up or other, you know, and every day it's somebody else. It's funny because the players kind of trickle into camp.
Yeah.
I guess it was Aaron Judge. Was it Aaron Judge calling names today or something?
Markakis said they need a beating, then Dusty.
They need a beating.
Yeah, well, Dusty's got to respond.
Players can't even, I mean, let's grant it, they're not very good at smack talk. They need a beating. I mean, what is he talking about? What does that mean?
Beat him up. Hey, good at smack talk. You go get that out of the bay. Come on, that's big time smack talk.
Yeah, you're right. That's great smack talk.
But Bill, you're right.
You know, I could.
And I think Matt's right. You know, the last 6 weeks, this has been really bad for baseball, but like, we're talking baseball.
Great for baseball.
I mean, we're talking baseball right now. Even if they vacated the championship, those Houston Astros might have a chip on their shoulder and become the Raiders of the MLB and all that. I mean, it really is getting dramatized.
This sounds like a column. This sounds like a column I need to write.
Yeah.
See, look at that.
This is right.
We're spitballing here, Bill. We're just coming up. We're coming up with it, man.
But do you think, and Bill, I mean.
I was at FanFest, and amazing, interviewing every player at FanFest this year. And nobody, none of us, not even me, and I ripped the Dodgers off the field last October. Even, I think I asked one question about October. Nobody's asking. Everybody's forgotten how the season ended. I don't think this is over with yet.
Read about it in the LA Times.
Even LeBron's right? Tweeting out. Even LeBron's ripping Manfred. Wow.
That's when you know it's time to take action. LeBron comes after you. Yeah. You better listen.
We better do
the
something
king
about
speaks.
This.
Exactly right.
The king's speech. I'll tell you what there, Bill Plaschke can get to Houston right on the 10. Not hard. It's Two Edmondo Tuesday, but it's coming to an end on the Petros and Money Show. And since it's Tuesday, schedule glitch. You got Bruin Insider at 7 o'clock and then David Vasse with Dodger Talk coming up at 8.
Dodger.
Charlie Huff.
Dodger.
Well, we don't know who the guest is. Spring training is underway. Dodgers are working out at Camelback. Who's back?
Camelback.
Rich. Remember, AM570 LA Sports is the only place that you can get every single Dodgers game from opening day all the way through the playoffs right here. We love you! All right, your dead guy birthday of the day, Matt, beating out Enzo Ferrari, hero to sports car enthusiasts everywhere.
Rome is pissed that you are passing over Enzo Ferrari.
Like the city or the sports talk?
Both. Sadly, both.
Beating out Enzo Ferrari, Matt, because we are your country music show of record.
Oh, that's not even close.
And your polka show of record. And you especially,
Doyers.
Matt.
Whoa.
This is
polka not in
also
there.
Your Doyers show of record.
Not in there.
Give me some polka, Cates.
I'm only through age.
Just give me some polka.
They're getting there.
Grew up with the polk. Did Pee Wee King from Abrams, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Polish guy. So grew it up. Grew up
what
with
was his last name again?
King.
You sure it wasn't like King-inski?
Kasakutso?
Kingovitz?
Knew how to play the accordion. Pee-wee is known for three big things in life. He introduced the waltz and polkas to cowboy songs.
Okay.
Including his accordion, which at the time, in the 40s, was an absolute revelation.
That's a big deal.
To country music. It's a huge deal. And if you put it on for me, he wrote one of the great American waltzes, perhaps the American waltz, unless you want to count Leonard Cohen's Take This Waltz, the Tennessee Waltz. in 1948, an American standard, covered by Otis Redding, Sam Cooke, Tom Jones. There he is. Pee-wee is also credited with bringing the illustrious Musicians Union to the Grand Ole Opry, so they were no longer taken advantage of.
It's a big deal.
Sure is.
They're going to leave that Opry.
For the musicians of Nashville. You ask the Outkick, the coverage guys, is that a big deal? Living so close in proximity to the Opry.
Titans, Opry, they got it all down there.
Predators.
Broadway.
Preds.
Preds.
He blatantly broke a rule in 1944. They used to not let you drum or trumpet at the Opry. And you know why. Black Devil music.
Yeah, I can see that.
Can't have it.
No, I can see that.
Can't have it. Can't have the Black Devil playing with his dirty bass and drum. You know, because that bass and drum makes you want to do. Makes you want to fornicate.
I think a lot of things make you want to fornicate.
But that, especially.
In particular.
You hear that bass and drum and your hips start to move. Next thing you know, you got a hold of somebody's poots.
Well, then, I guess they...
Pee-wee King didn't like that rule.
Perhaps slowed the population boom down a little bit.
Yeah, well, maybe. But Pee-wee was like, hey, look, it's BS. I want to play my bass. I want my drums. And he brought it in 1944.
And?
Broke the rules.
Never the same.
No, they just went right back to it for a while. But he did break the rules that one night. And one other thing he's famous for, Matt, he introduced the rhinestone cowboy outfit, which is what Elvis
the best
became.
Conway Twitty, Elvis.
Yeah, he is the rhinestone cowboy.
The rhinestone cowboy.
Yeah.
Redford.
Glenn Campbell. Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Ba-dum-bum.
And he's the guy that first started wearing those bejeweled outfits.
Beautiful.
So he died in 2000 at 86. Country Music Hall of Fame. Pee-wee King, man.
Okay. We keep the music theme going. Easy one here is your prog rock show of record.
I had to dig for Pee-wee.
I did not have to dig for Dennis the Young, frontman.
DDY?
Styx!
We not only celebrate the frontman of Styx,
but we sell, well, because Tommy Shaw and the Young, you know, you kind of had, I mean, the Young was keyboard vox, but Shaw is the lead guitarist. I mean, really both determined the path of Styx becoming A, hard rock, B, prog rock. Let's go, what are you doing there? Okay, why not, Mr. Roboto? No. I just didn't want it to be Renegade. There's just too much Renegade out there with the Steelers and the Chargers and the NFL
just
and all
too
that.
Much.
Mr. Roboto's fine. Rock opera really put an end to their career, so what the hell?
And forget the Big Daddy soliloquies, right?
Yeah.
This is real.
This is real. We could do Babe. We could do Come Sail Away for South
that
Park.
That was the Big Daddy.
Yeah, but let's...
Remember Big Daddy with Sandler? And he was all into Styx, and he was always trying to tell everybody, like, no, man, not Journey. Styx!
Chicago born.
Now you can see Bostix.
Happy 73rd to Dennis DeYoung. In 61, DeYoung is 14. The twin brothers, Panazzo, Chuck and John, form a three-piece. DeYoung, accordion, and sang.
Wisconsin?
Chicago, close enough, right?
Proximity.
The brothers, drums and guitar, they called themselves the Trade Winds. Chuck left for seminary. And when he got back, he played bass. DeYoung switched from accordion to keys.
He went to seminary and then talk about the devil music.
Right.
Just taking over.
Figuring it out. Wow. River Styx, here we go. Changed their name to TW4 because they added another guy. They all went to Chicago State. They played high schools and frat parties while studying to be teachers. Added a college friend, folk guitarist John Kuraluski.
Is that the Flames?
No, Chicago State. The only thing I know about Chicago State is I used to drive by it. And it was right next to the Jay's, not Lay's, but the Jay's potato chip factory.
Oh, okay, like John's.
So, yes, like John's versus Vaughn's, that's what Jay's was to Lay's back in the day. They got a deal, and in 72, they renamed themselves Styx because there was another band out there called Trade Winds that had a hit. They started banging out albums 4 and 3 years. Styx 1, 72, Styx 2, 73, and The Serpent is Rising in 73. And then that's a prog rock title if I've ever heard one,
oh,
by the way.
On.
The Serpent is Rising. And Man of Miracles in 74, nothing popped on the radio. They were doing okay, not great. The guys were still teaching around Chicago while playing at night.
Yeah, like GVV.
Exactly right. Exactly like that, except they weren't college professors. They were just elementary school music
still
teachers.
Still teaching people.
But a year after they released Styx 2, Flamethrower of a Styx, WLS.
WLS.
Started playing Lady. And it became a freaking smash, not only in the greater Chicagoland area, but it caught on nationally. Billboard hit number 2 for that year, and Styx 2 became a platinum record. A&M signed the band. Tommy Shaw replaced Kurilewski on guitar. Come 1977, they released The Grand Illusion, one of the biggest rock records of the year, Come Sail Away, Fooling Yourself. Less than a year later, Pieces of Eight had Renegade, Blue Collar Man, 79. This is when bands
Pieces
were bands.
Pieces of Eight is a good prog rock.
Yeah.
That's a great, that's even better to me than The Serpent Is Rising.
Guys are pumping out a record a year back then.
When yeah, you, that was you, that back was when it. You did music.
You put out a record and you toured, and not then you came back and put out another record and toured.
Bieber had to go for 2 years to the Hillsong to write I'm Sorry. It's like, whatever, Bieber.
You're pumping out hits. 79, Babe, their first number one, their first international number one, nominated for a Grammy for that one. That got them into arenas. The young one of the band to keep pumping out hits. The rest of the band said, no, man, we got to rock harder. Enough of this pop S. Well, and that was a wedge. They split for a second but came to their senses. You want to know a prog rock title? Paradise Theater.
Ooh.
Concept album. Best of Times, Too Much Time on My Hands, multi-platinum, fourth consecutive multi-platinum record.
That's when the people used to just sell records. If you were Styx and you put out a record,
you'd sell it.
People bought the damn thing.
And by the way, the great thing about that record, they were part of the Play It Backwards, You Get a Satanic Message.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they were like, what are you talking about?
Gosh, bro? You know, like, I would hear that stuff when I was a kid. I'd be like, ooh.
Right?
And now it's like, those guys had a satanic message?
Styx.
Really?
And that's what the young was saying.
These guys aren't even swole like Danzig.
You're ruining our records. Look, you're selling more because kids are trying to play them backwards and it's scratching the hell out of them.
I'm a yuppie. I'm a yuppie.
You heard, that was a good one. You heard Mr. Roboto there. That was part of Kilroy Was Here, their rock opera. That was nominated for the Engineering Grammy. They broke up. The Young and Shaw hated each other. Had solo careers.
But the Boston guy died and, doesn't the Young sing and they're now Bostix?
So Styx I don't know play. Which one would
God,
be the
I
good
would love Styx. To see Styx.
I mean, it's the Young. He's the voice.
The Young. Yes. If the Boston guy's dead,
yes.
You got to have the Young.
So
otherwise, what do you have?
Larry Gowan.
You have Shaw. F. Shaw.
Tommy Shaw playing with Larry Gowan.
Yeah, F. U. Gowan.
On Vox. So there you go. That's the split Styx these days.
You know why they had to quit? Mad Gow disease. Gow was crazy. He was crazy, dude. He go, what?
Hey, now. What? Prog Rock Show of Record.
Prog Rock and the Accordion Show of Record. And the Grand Old Opry Show of Record. And Black Devil Music Show of Record.
Oh, no question. Oh,
the Serpent Is Risen here.
And don't get us started on Black Haitian Voodoo either. That's might as well just hand in hand right there. David Vassay, 8 to 9 from Camelback Ranch. Chris Taylor, Rick Honeycutt, and John Hartung.
The hardest tongue.
Of all.
Unless it's Friday. Check out this crunchy groove.